went to the church in Miami, I discovered that they clapped for everything. And finally, I told them, I've made peace with your clapping. It's your version of amen, so be it. It's a joy to be back with you again. Your pastor, of course, and you, by extension, as a congregation, have been on my heart and mind. I've been praying for your pastor each day, and by extension, for you also. If I've missed a day, it's only because of the weakness of my own flesh. But in the same way that he's been an encouragement to me and also to you, I'm praying that we can also be an encouragement back to him. And then you were on my mind 2 or 3 weeks ago. We were coming from church and it took us 50 minutes to get home, I think because the Phillies are in town and we're practicing. And I said to my wife, Olivia, we may as well have gone to Tampa Bay Presbyterian if it's going to be 50 minutes. So it's my joy to be back with you. I'm reading to you from Joshua chapter 4. I'm going to skip some verses, but only because we're going to pick them back up in the sermon itself. So let us ask the Lord to illumine our minds. Lord, as we come and we hear your word now, help us to get it. Cause your Holy Spirit to just cause the light of illumination to come on in our minds and hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I think you have the good practice of standing for the word of God, right? So let's stand. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, and this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, just as the Lord had told Joshua. Skipping to verse 10, the people passed over in haste. Verse 13, about 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. Verse 19, the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal, and he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then let your children know, quote, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, and that you may fear the Lord God forever. Please be seated. Well, this is an absolutely stunning moment, just like the time when Israel had fled out of Egypt and had crossed over on dry land in the Red Sea. Once again, Israel is crossing over, this time the Jordan, and they're going over on dry land. And to make sure that we don't forget the story, which has been told to us already in the previous chapter, or maybe it's just because the author of Joshua just can't help relishing the moment again. He repeats this business of the Ark of the Covenant, standing for the presence and the promises of God. And he tells us in verses 10 to 11, now the priests who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything that the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people, just as Moses had directed Joshua. The people hurried over, and as soon as all of them had crossed, the ark of the Lord and the priests came to the other side while the people watched. Then the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests carrying the ark of the testimony to come out of the Jordan. So Joshua commanded the priests, come out of the Jordan. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. This is a huge moment. For 40 years, Israel has been wandering around in the wilderness, messing everything up. And now comes a time when they cross over the Jordan and they enter into the promised land. And as that passage I just read, which was a repeat of the chapter before, causes us to relish this understanding that the Ark of the Covenant stands for the presence and the promises of God as they are among his people. Standing there in the middle of the Jordan, the priests with the Ark, symbolizing the reign and rule of God and his deliverance of his people, standing there as the waters are held back, they understand God is with us. Here's the first thing I want to remind you this morning. I don't know what weighty fear is on your mind. I don't know what exhaustion you're going through. I don't know how hard you're fighting for your marriage. I don't know how hard you are fighting for your job. I don't know how fearful you are of going into high school or middle school, which is, by the way, the worst of them. It doesn't matter one bit. The presence and the promises of the Lord are with you. He'll do what it takes to dry up the Jordan if necessary. But because you are numbered among his people, because he's given you his presence and his promises, you may be confident that as tough as this moment might be, he will take us across. Now, actually, Israel doesn't have a great track record, and perhaps neither do we. But for Israel, as she faces the future, in this moment, we find that she is absolutely obedient to the Lord. That is emphasized in our text by repetition. I think the writer of Joshua was a little surprised, maybe. But he says it over and over. Now, the priests who carried the ark remained standing in the middle of Jordan until everything that the Lord had commanded Joshua was done by the people. Just as Moses had commanded Joshua, the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests. So Joshua commanded the priests. Four times over, we are told, that God had commanded them and they did what they were told. Now, I figure they did what they were told because they knew that the Jordan had suddenly been stopped. And as the text tells us, I think a little humorously, the people passed over in haste. But having said that, we need to realize the importance of being obedient to the Lord, okay? When the Lord says, thou shalt not commit adultery, we've got to take it seriously. It will wash away our lives. When God says to forgive those who have sinned against us, maybe you're a part of the Me Too movement, but you need to understand that we have got to do what the Lord commands us, and we've got to forgive. Even when we are not asked for forgiveness, we forgive, but we place that person in God's hands, and we let them go out of our hands. And let me remind you again, and this is open to misinterpretation, but if you think I'm not getting it quite right, talk to me afterwards, and I'll do my best to straighten it out for you. But you understand, we're not working hard to be obedient so we can get blessed. We've been blessed. We've been taken through the Jordan. We've been redeemed by the Lord. He has been present with us. And because we are delighting in his grace and because he has given us his love, therefore our strongest desire is to do what he wants us to do. And great blessing comes from it. But next, the Lord does a strange thing. He tells them that they are to erect a monument to this great day. And what they do is 12 men are to take 12 stones out of the Jordan, and they're to go off onto Gilgal on the side of the promised land, and they are to erect a monument of these stones that point out who God is. In the previous chapter, and Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you. Before they crossed the Jordan, they called him the living God. The thing about the living God is that you can look at that monument. Incidentally, if we were taking the Lord's Supper this morning, we would point out the monument, the memorial. The thing is, you look at that monument and you remember what God has done, but you don't live back there. You take it and you delight in the presence and you say, this is the living God. He was alive back then. He is alive right now. He is with me. And as he delivered us in the past, he will deliver us in the present. And you don't dare just take it into the present. We take it and we look into the future and we say, he is the living God. Come what may for the church in the West. Come what may for you and me as individuals and our families. We know that this is about the future because he's the living God. And he points that out to us. He says, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you may always fear the Lord your God. I actually love this passage because it really tells us how to pass on the faith to our kids, or incidentally to others as well. It's when they ask you, what's that strange thing there, that you're just simply to share what the Lord your God did for you to redeem you. I'll give you a silly example. One time my oldest son came to me and said, Dad, when we first went off to college, weren't you in that little church up in rural New Jersey? And I said, yeah. And he said, how did you ever put us through college? And I said, son, I have no idea whatsoever. And I meant it. But I know the Lord helped us through. It's just natural, right? You're just sharing the faith. You're just telling about what the Lord has done for you. So that when your son or your daughter or your grandson or your daughter grow up, or when you're uttering the last words on your bed before you die, they may know that the living God has been with you all these years and he will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. What I didn't tell my son, and I realized it only later, was that one of the ways the Lord provided was I was in a car accident, and the insurance company asked me to settle because I had numbness in one leg, and I, not being used to suing people, said, well, as long as you'll take care of my medical expenses, that's okay with me. And they said, no, we have to have a lump sum. So I got a lump sum, and my oldest son went through college. Just share the faith joyfully, okay? Just tell others what the Lord has done for us. Just pass it on. Don't worry about your kids, even now, worry in the bad sense, even if now they're not walking close to the Lord. You've planted the seed. Just share what God has done for you, and then stop and wait until the seed has grown. But now, there are about three or four other little details in this passage that you may not even have noticed, and I'd like to point them out to you and explain them to you. We are told in verse 19, on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from Jordan and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho, and Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. Now, the little phrase on the 10th day of the first month will mean nothing whatsoever to us. However, if I was saying on July 4th, our ears would prick up, wouldn't it? Because we would know that that's a red letter day in our history. And the 10th day of the first month is a red letter day. It's in Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this first month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides of the top of the door frames of the houses. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's the same day all over again. The same day when they had left out of Egypt and Moses had led them through the Red Sea. Now they are leaving, they're wandering in the wilderness, and Joshua is leading them this time through the Jordan. But more than that, this is Passover. This is about the blood of the Lamb. And what we're being told here is that God's presence in our life and God's presence in our church is more than to make sure that Stephen has a happy life and is able to put his kids through college. It's about God's redemption. It's about God's love. It's about the fact that Joshua's name was changed to Joshua to mean God saves. That it's all about being redeemed. It's not about, and here's where we can mess it up with our kids, okay? It's not all about being good boys and girls, though we have to teach them the commandments and tell them it's important to obey the Lord. But it's not about being good boys and girls, as someone said to my daughter, once, I don't have to go to church to be good. And I said, honey, make sure you go back to him and tell him that's correct. Let him know you go to church because you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And God is present with you as you worship him and in your life through the Holy Spirit. And that's the difference. Be careful, okay? Be careful of not giving our co-workers the impression that following the Lord is about what we do and what we don't do. As important as some of those things will be to explain, but be careful to understand that at the bottom of this is the red letter day. This is the day in which we are redeemed and when in fact we pass over the Jordan. And then another detail, I try to emphasize it, but I would be surprised if you pick it up, because if you're like me, you're a little dull on some of these literary things. But the number 12 keeps coming up again and again. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, from each tribe. Choose 12 men from among the people, from one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones. And while I was reading it to you, I was counting it 5 times the word 12. Came up. Well, yes, so there were 12 tribes. And so 12 would come up, but 5 times? I mean, repetition is there for a point. And I take the point to be this, that all the tribes of Israel crossed over the Jordan, and none, not one, were lost. We can take that for ourselves. It's rich with symbolism. You know, Jesus, there were 12 tribes, and Jesus chose 12 disciples because we are his new Israel. And then when you go into the book of the Revelation, John, because he loves the symbolism of numbers, is always playing around with the number 12. I'm sure you remember that. And then putting it with the decimal number 10 and getting them all together. Here it is in chapter 7. He says there were 144,000 sealed by the Spirit of God. 12 Old Testament people of God, 12 New Testament people of God. 12 times 12, 144. Just take the decimal number and put it out infinitely, 10 by 10 by 10, and you get the understanding that standing before the throne of God is all the people of God. Jesus. And he was talking to his Father, praying. And he was praying for us, just as he's at the right hand of the Father, praying for us right now. Jesus said this to the Father, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." He won't lose us, okay? There are times when we mess up big time. But he redeemed us. We didn't get across the Jordan. It was his idea to call us and to choose us. It was his idea to set his love upon us. It was his idea to shed the blood of the Lamb for the forgiveness of all of our sins so that the wrath of God would pass over us and never, ever possibly settle on us, because there is now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ. And if you and I are numbered among the tribes of Israel, the old and the new, if we are numbered among the 144,000, symbolic as it is of all people at all times for whom God has called to himself through the blood of the Lamb, he will lose absolutely none of us at all. I know, you know, you may be racked by temptation right now. You may be racked by anxiety right now. You may be racked by coldness of heart. I'll just tell you, I don't think my heart has grown cold, but when I used to have to prepare a fresh sermon every Sunday, okay, I had to pay attention and keep awake, and it's easy to kind of fall asleep a little bit. But he won't lose us, right? He will keep us, and he will draw us, and he will strengthen us, and he will help us. So, now, finally, I love these final last details. I'm going to go back to the previous chapter. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will never fail to drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites. I can't hardly get them out. The Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing before you into Jordan. Now, here's a detail that I love. The Lord has set the ark in the middle of the Jordan. All of the 12 tribes, all of us who belong to God's Israel, we've got to pass by the ark. We've got to remember his commandments inside. We've got to remember the rod of Jesse that budded by which he led the people. We've got to remember the manna that is in there by which he fed his people. And especially we've got to pass by the top of the ark, which was the mercy seat where the blood of the Lamb was shed for the forgiveness of God's people. And what happens is that all of us, as we pass over before the ark, symbolizing the presence and the promises of God, when we get over to the other side, here's what the text says. About 40,000 people crossed over, and they were ready for war when they passed before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. Now, skeptics, people who don't love the word of God, they can, excuse me, I don't mean to be nasty, but they can say some really dumb things sometimes. They really don't believe that God dried up the Jordan, you know, and that's how the Israelites got across. But, you know, the answer is, if they had crossed the Jordan where the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites thought they could expect them to cross the Jordan, they would have been met there by an overwhelming force of Canaanite armies. The fact is, they crossed over because the Lord stopped the water at the one place the Canaanites didn't expect them to cross over because it was flooded and they couldn't cross over. And so here's the thing. When we realize that the Lord has called us and chosen us to be numbered among his people, when we realize that he has redeemed us by the blood of the Lamb and that he is present with us, both in the presence of his Spirit and of his promises. And when we cross over the Jordan and stop wandering around in the wilderness and realize we've been redeemed, set free, he's got a way of taking us over at a place where our enemies don't expect to find us. And he's got a way, because remember, Joshua's name is God Saves. He's got a way to bring us through and to redeem us and to bless us. And as our text says, he did this so all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and that you might always fear the Lord your God. When we realize we've been redeemed, then we begin to live our lives to the glory of God. And we then begin to be able to tell our kids and others not the great things we have accomplished, because the Lord knows we have not, but the things that he has done for us, and that he loves us, and that he loses none of us, that he is present with us, that his glory may be seen in our lives. If you've been wandering around in the wilderness, you know, it's entirely possible you come to church because, you know, you kind of think, I need to do a good job of being obedient. I think I'm doing all right. I mean, I think I'm safe. After all, I'm not Hitler or some of these guys I've been reading about on TV and in the internet recently. Look, that's just wandering around in the wilderness, okay? Or it may be that as Christians, we've been just working so hard. I mean, that we're just worn out. And you know, yes, I understand that temptation can be a battle. I understand that there are trials which take us, which wear us down. I understand that you may be fighting for your marriage. I'm not for a moment saying that there aren't enemies out there that are going to have to be taken on. But we take them on from an entirely different perspective. And that is from the perspective of those who have been called, those who have been loved, those for whom the blood of the Lamb has been shed, those for whom the Lord will lose none, and those whom for whom the Lord takes across through the Jordan, and who discover themselves, much to their own surprise, to be ready for battle. If you've been wandering around in the wilderness, just rest in the love of Christ, who shed his blood for you. Just pass before the ark, as it were, and realize this is not about how well you can do. You and I could never do well enough. This is about accepting his love and just trusting him. And if you're worn out this morning from the battle, relax just a little bit, at least during worship, and just relish the story like our writer did in repeating the details over and over. Just relish the story. And know that Joshua's name means God saves. And one last detail, I promise you. We're told here that after they went over the Jordan, the people of Israel bonded with Joshua. They began to recognize him in a new way, just as the Israelites had done when Moses took them through the Red Sea. Now, you know, Joshua's name means God saves. And Jesus' name is Joshua, which means he shall save his people from their sins. And when we've been taken through the Jordan, when we realize his love and his redemption, what happens to us is we bond with Jesus. We just get locked in with him. We just delight in him. We enjoy him. We rest in him. And when all those enemies come at us, we rely on him. So, here we are this morning, having spent time singing songs to the Lord. Here we are this morning, having heard the word of God. And here we are this morning, delighting in the presence of all Israel as they surround us here. And here we are this morning, realize that I didn't know it, but having got what he has done for me, I think I'm ready for the battle. Shall we pray? Lord, how awesome you are. How glad we are that it's all about you and not about us. Because, Lord, were it all about us, we sure would mess up. How glad we are, Lord, for your love and that you've numbered us among the tribes of Israel. How glad we are, O Lord, that you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. And therefore, with joy and confidence in our hearts, and all to your praise and all to your glory, we end our worship, Father, this morning, singing of the firm foundation which you've given to us in Jesus Christ. For your sake and your glory and in your name, we give you our thanks. Amen. How firm